The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 8th of April, 2020. On the podcast today, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about commodities, the markets, and what he's been personally buying or about to buy. Also on the podcast, as always, I have two very important lists for you. They are the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. And basically, people only follow companies for a certain reason, you know? And that is either because they're researching them or they've invested in them and they're adding them to their watch list. So it's a measure of money flow, a measure of interest. But it's a good measure, strong measure. If you want to see top 10 versions of this, of course, go to voxmarkets.co.uk. Also, I have top 5 most liked RNSs released today via the app. If you have the app, it's free to download at your popular local sort of store there, your app store. Then hit that thumbs up button. If you read an RNS and you like the contents of the RNS, hit the thumbs up button within that RNS. And if it gets a lot of those, it could feature in the top 5, top 10. And I could be reading out on the podcast. And of course, it gets more traction like that. So I'll read those out in a bit.
Want to get live push notification alerts whenever a company you follow releases an RNS? Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
We're in a weird world, aren't we, at the moment? We're in a weird period of time, which I've never seen in my lifetime before. I know many people who haven't, maybe, you know, who were born after World War II have never seen this kind of lockdown, you know, because I think there's somewhere saying 50% of the world is in lockdown, which is remarkable, isn't it? It's absolutely remarkable to think about that, you know, and there are companies, you know, sort of surviving but on no revenue, like the big companies, you know, like FTSE 100 company, I'm just generally like EasyJet and all these kind of people who have no revenue, and normally they turn over, you know, millions and billions, and it's just an odd situation. So the stock market has fallen by 25%, but that's about it, and I think there's going to be more to come, surely. Yeah, look at the unemployment figures.
Well, the UN International Labour Organization reckoned that the world had lost 7% in working hours, and that was the equivalent of 195 million people losing their jobs, which are staggering statistics. Yeah. That's really meaningful, and that loss of income or loss of productivity needs to be made up in some way, and the only way to really make that up is to print money and to reflate the global economy.
Yeah, well, do you know what's it's funny, there's a thing on BBC today, investors warned about rushing into leisure stocks because tourism it's a massive industry, travel and tourism, one of the biggest, and I think it's the fastest growing, but it's huge, it employs, you know, millions and millions of people. But of course, the likes of Carnival Cruises have taken a massive hit. They've had to tap the capital markets, of course, and issue bonds and all that stuff, and they've gone from, I don't know what the share price was, but to where it's gone down to, but I'll look it up now. But they've rallied recently, with a bit of a two-day rally going on, and they rallied massively, and I thought that's ridiculous, because they've gone from their share price, 48 quid a couple of, let's start of 2019, they were 48 quid, they're now at £8.36, and of course, you know, this, they've stopped sailing because they are incubators pretty much for these kind of diseases. You know, people are spending so much time close to each other, easy to pass it on. People don't want to go. I can't believe people are still on some cruises somewhere. But but they've rallied quite strongly in the last few days, Carnival, and people are jumping on the bandwagon. Why? They're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be generating any revenue for months and months and months. So we're seeing these short-term bounces, which are technical bounces because they've been oversold, I suppose. So they're bouncing. But to think they're going to have a recovery from here is a bit silly, I think, because it's going to be months, isn't it? Months until these companies get any kind of revenue, you know?
Well, some companies are going to recover much faster than others. Yeah. Clearly, if you're in the leisure industry, this is a cataclysmic event. And the problem for me as an investor is, well, which companies simply won't survive? And I think many of the, I mean, it may be that the authorities bail out some of these businesses, or maybe they let them go. I mean, I'm not sure there is huge loyalty to these sorts of companies, because there'll be other businesses to step in and snap up the assets when certain businesses go under. And quite a lot, margins were so small and slim in the leisure industry anyway, that businesses were close to going over the edge before this happened. Yeah. So you would have thought the coronavirus would be calling time on anything that's at the more vulnerable end of the spectrum.
Yeah. No, exactly. And it's a time where, if you're going to invest, if you're a nimble trader, fair enough, you can jump in and out these things. But as an investor, you know, you've got to select the sector, the correct sector. And you know, there's a good update today, actually, from On the Beach, which is it's a website, but it's a travel agent website. But they haven't got the capital expenditure of something like EasyJet or Carnival Cruises. So they said we've got a cash burn of around about $2 million a month, and they've got 50 odd million in cash, and they've done a stress test and said even if we get no bookings till the end of September, we're fine. You know, we're fine. And that kind of thing, where you've got an EasyJet. I think it was something like Delta Airlines I saw a couple of weeks back saying they're burning $50 million a day. And you're thinking, wow. And we've seen these climate change protesters now saying that, you know, airlines shouldn't be bailed out. There's a lot of pressure from climate change people saying, don't bail the airlines out because, you know, it has to change. We can't sustain this. So, yeah, it's about picking your sector. And that's why I asked you before we come on. I said, how are the big guys doing? The big, you know, mining companies, how are they doing at the moment? So what are, like, the Rios and the BHPs? How are they working out? Have they dropped a lot, John?
Well, surprisingly, they've dropped a bit, but they've dropped more than they should do, because so much of their earnings comes from iron ore these days, and the iron ore price has dropped to $79 a ton, and wasn't so much higher at the beginning of the year. Yes. So it doesn't actually look so bad. If we go back to the beginning of the year, between $90 and $95 a ton. So yes, it's a bit of a pullback in prices, but when you're producing iron ore at $15 a ton, this is your margins are still great, your earnings are still good quality. Okay, you're going to lose a bit on the copper prices, because BHP and Rio Tinto do have fairly big copper divisions, but these companies I would expect them to carry on paying very good dividends, and that makes them stand out in the marketplace.
Because I know we've seen smaller cap, micro caps taking a bit of a hit, haven't they? And which I suppose is a lot to do with, because they are not generating any revenue at the moment. I mean, are those industries, are they generating revenue now? Is it on hold? Are they mothballed or what?
Well, micro, smaller companies.
No, I mean the Rio Tintos. Are they partly running? Are they partly shut down? Are they full on? Or what's going on with those?
No, I think they're pretty much full on. I mean, there's certain operations in certain countries which are shut down, but as far as I'm aware, the disruption is relatively small. I think the big mines, they're often in remote locations. They're quite well insulated from things going on in the rest of the world. I think much of what they do continues as normal.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, and of course, the small caps, the issue is the small caps, because they're not generating any revenue. They're not going to miss the revenue, but they're still burning cash, aren't they? So what's it like? I mean, it's never been easy to raise money as an explorer, you know, but is it now a lot harder for those companies, a lot harder, or what?
Well, it is more difficult in the current environment. There's no doubt about that. But there is funding available from certain sources, which we're still seeing coming through. We're actually still seeing corporate money coming in. So where other corporates are injecting funds into businesses, I see there's some money, about $8 million going into a nickel business this morning. Mm-hmm. Definitely this is going on, and we were writing about SolGold yesterday, which reported a resource upgrade on their project in Ecuador, and I'm sure they'll continue to get funding from Newcrest and BHP, which have been good funders and backers of the project. And actually SolGold's share price has held up relatively well through the crisis, and so far they're relatively unaffected. So whilst they've pulled back on the drilling programs, they're still carrying on with a lot of the other work that they have to do, the analysis. The coronavirus delays things for these companies, but it's certainly not game over.
Yeah. I notice gold price trying to break that 1700 level. It's been hovering around that for a while. It's tried to break that up, around that range, 1697, about three or four times now. But it went above it yesterday. It looked like it was going to go for it. And in fact, let me just find where it went to. It went to a high 1742 yesterday, and now it's back to 1688. But it's determined to get through there, isn't it? It's pushing harder and harder. It's amazing. I wonder how many times it's going to fail before it gets through there. But of course, the more time it tries, when it does break through, it should be a good move, you know?
Yeah, I would have thought so. And it's certainly helping some of the gold companies. So Sol Gold, which has an awful lot of gold in the portfolio now, is probably a beneficiary there. There's a number of other juniors that are worth looking at. Scott Gold Resources, for example, coming into production later this year in Scotland. Certainly another one to look at.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know what? Gold at the moment, I said, the stimulus measures from around the world, from central banks around the world, is unprecedented. Like I said, started off with $2 trillion in America alone, and they're reckoning the balance sheets in... they're really going to expand the balance sheet by about $6 trillion. So, and I've read an FT article saying the Fed are expanding their balance sheet by $1 million a second. That's how many assets this is going to... So that is unbelievable. So you understand, you know, the printing money at that rate... you know, it's going to affect gold, isn't it, in a positive way, you know?
Yes, I mean, it's better, I think, for the world to emerge into an inflationary environment than a deflationary environment. Because what we don't want is to fall into a depression, which is so often what does seem to follow pandemics historically. So much better to put a bit more money into the system than is really required than to put too little.
Yeah. But is there any, I mean, you know, the thing is with this, I don't know if it's like the financial crisis, people say this is going to be worse than the financial crisis. As yet, it isn't on the downside. It's fallen faster. Whether it'll bounce back faster, we don't know, because there's that great unknown. And I'm thinking, was this the same with the financial crisis? Did people not know how long it was going to go on for? Now, there's worries that the banking system was falling apart. But right now, you know, central banks have put more stimulus into this because they realise, if you look at the unemployment figures, and that's what creates pretty much depressions, is that so many people go out of unemployed, there's less demand for products. Of course, there's less need to produce those products, so that the manufacturers lay people off, and it's a downward spiral. So they want to try and keep as many people employed as possible. But, I mean, do you remember back to the financial crisis? Was there this thought that, oh, we'll get out of this in the next year or so, or was it this... we don't know how long, where's the end of the tunnel, where's the light? Was it the same as this or not? I can't remember.
Well, we didn't know how long it would take after Lehman's went down and because of the whole subprime crisis. We didn't know how long that was going to last. And in fact, the collapse of Lehman Brothers was the catalyst, which caused policymakers to then step in and unfreeze credit markets, which were part of the problem. And so so we then saw a very rapid recovery. And certainly the mining shares did very well after that. Yeah. Gold prices were also well supported. But we saw a big rebound because many nations around the world started to put money into infrastructure projects, particularly the Chinese, who put a lot of extra money into infrastructure. And that, of course, required a lot of metals. And what we know is that the funding of infrastructure projects is a really quick way of getting an economy back on track.
Yeah. And do you know what? I've been out of resource stocks for a long time, but I've dipped my toe in two companies. If anyone wants to know what they are, you can see it on my latest video. But only a tiny bit, because I understand when this does come back, only a tiny bit, because I'm prepared to scale in, so I expect them to drop further. In fact, they've had a little rally of late, but I'm not expecting that to last very long. But I think when this comes back, yeah, the resource stocks, which have been hammered for a while, will go quickly, won't they? They move quickly.
Yeah, well, they certainly did last time, and I think the global financial crisis has given a good template to policymakers on what to do and what not to do. And they recognize that allowing banks like Lehman's to go down is really bad for the market. Mm-hmm. And actually stepping in with sufficient stimulus is really important. So we've seen policymakers already step up to the plate with statements. And that's why our very simple tally of stimulus that's been announced is now at $11.9 trillion. It's always possible that some of that might not get spent or injected into the market, but there are commitments there to put an unprecedented amount of money into the marketplace. And if that does come through, then I'm sure we'll see an almighty rebound in certainly in the mining sector, and I think in many other sectors as well.
Yeah, and have you put any money to work, John, of late?
I applied to my colleagues for permission to buy about a dozen stocks yesterday.
Really? Oh, there they are. Any names?
For example, Bushveld Minerals, Ark Minerals, some oil stocks. Mm-hmm. I could give you the list.
Oil has been hammered, isn't it? And I know people get bearish on it, and send, but we've seen a rally of late, but it's been so hammered. It's the epicenter of the storm, really, with that war going on with Saudi and Russia, plus you've got coronavirus, and of course, oil gets hit in a downturn anyway, so it really is being compounded by this coronavirus. So, it can only be oversold for so long before you see a massive rebound, just technically, you know, because the pressure can't just keep going, you know, exert it downwards. It's got to release sooner or later, like a spring is uncoiled spring. It's got to go, isn't it? What oil stocks then?
We're looking at Eco Atlantic and Premier Oil and things like that. Okay. So a number of stocks have been recommended by our oil analyst. I'm just trying to pull out the names. And some of the house builders as well. Balfour Beatty, Ashtead, these sorts of companies, which I believe are relatively well set for recovery.
No doubt, it's just time, isn't it? When, that's all. That's all we need to figure out. So we don't know exact time. So, you know, go small and scale in, isn't it? Because I always expect that, you know, the stock to fall. And when I invest in a company, I always expect them to fall. So I think, right, don't put as much in. And at the moment, I'm very risk averse. I'm not putting, you know, literally. Before I'd start off with, say, 2%, 3% of the portfolio and scale up. These days, I'm going to almost 1% of the portfolio value, I find it really hard to hold cash. I do find it really hard, but I've held cash now for a long time, and so I'm getting used to it. And all I have to think, in my head, what I think is this: there'll be better prices coming around the corner very soon. That's what I keep thinking, you know, rather than just jumping on a rally. Because you shouldn't chase these rallies at the moment, because they could go down further, you know, this bear market rallied them, you know. So it's discipline, John, isn't it? Have a bit of discipline.
Well, I think some of the hedge funds are going a little bit risk off ahead of the bank holiday weekend, because it's an Easter weekend, and there's probably going to be some more fairly dramatic bad news out of the US on mortality rates and things like that, and maybe from other parts of the world too. But then one's got to come back into the market at some stage, and certainly there are some bargain prices out there. Mm. I'm also looking at Blue Jay, Travis Perkins, Rockrose Energy, Touchstone Exploration, and Columbus Energy. So there's a number of stocks out there that I think, presenting good value opportunities in there. And it's with some of the majors, but the juniors, of course, represent better leverage in the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. John, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak to you next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Audioboom. That's boom ticker down 4.86% to 176 pennies. At four, ASOS. I don't know how you pronounce that, but it's rallying strongly, up 27.86% to 1994. At three, AA Group. A lot of people playing that. So it's a debt-laden company, I know that, but be careful. 1625, down 3%. At two, Novasight, which is NCYT. Good two RNSs out from them. I think World Health Organization has approved their testing machine for COVID-19. And they're also partnering with some of the biggest pharma companies out there. It's GSK, AstraZeneca, and I think it's Cambridge University as well on sort of certain projects. And at number one, it's Avacta Group, up 64% to $39.50. AVCT. All right, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Avacta Group, Avacta and Cytiva collaborate on COVID-19 rapid test. That's why it's rising strongly. At four, Novacyt COVID test eligible for WHO emergency use listing. That's the World Health Organization, of course. At three, European Metal Holdings, dispatch of notice of meeting for the forthcoming extraordinary general meeting will be dispatched to shareholders. This is by the investment. And I'm worth looking at this. I did buy a couple of shares in this company. It's early in, but lithium in Czech Republic. And they've been invested. Their subsidiary, which is Geomet, the company's Czech subsidiary and holder of the Sinovet licenses, an investment of 29.1 million. From CZ, or says, I don't know how to pronounce that, but it's a big Czech company. And so, this is one of the biggest lithium projects, and it's in Europe. That's what I like, right in the central Europe there. It's not in some far-flung corner of the world where it's a questionable jurisdiction. It's right in Europe, next to the big car producers, of course, with BMW, Volkswagen, Audi, Porsche, all those. And it's right next to that. So that's why I quite like that that project there. It's early in, of course, resource companies. And once the recovery happens, of course, they'll be one of the first to motor. No pun intended. Or maybe it is. All right. At two, it is Iconic Labs, Infotagen update. This is a multi-divisional new media company. They're just released this document here, media launch of Infotainment. It's viewed by 1 million readers already there. So that's ICON. And the number one most liked RNS was Novacyt again, two RNSs today, collaborated with AstraZeneca, GSK and University of Cambridge to support the UK national effort to increase COVID-19 testing. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.